This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Iran celebrating, ready for this, nuclear day, as they celebrate enriching uranium to 60%. Danger levels.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast, and we've got breaking news. And it literally is breaking in the last hour if you're catching us live. If you're seeing us tape delayed, it'd be a couple hours ago. But you need to know this. So it's been reported now that Iran has begun 60% uranium enrichment. This is not according to just some miscellaneous reports. This is according to Iran's own nuclear. It's the individual that's in charge of nuclear negotiations. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. The individual in charge of nuclear negotiations is bragging that they've reached 60% uranium. 60% of the enrichment of the uranium. Here's the problem. 90%, it's a weapon. Let me tell you what the uses are at 60%. Getting ready to be a weapon. Under the so-called JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, it was not supposed to be over 5%. And the United States pulled out of that deal, but the European countries were still in it. And this tells you exactly what the Iranians are thinking about this the whole time. Now, we also know that there's been an attack on a nuclear facility. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's talk about this very serious situation as it relates to enrichment of uranium. Wes, from your experience in the military, as our military senior military analyst, what is this, the significance of this right now?
It's extremely significant because the reason that the JCPOA, as flawed as it was, limited them to 5% enriched uranium is because at 5%, that you can do all of your civilian power work, your medical research and tests, all of that is done at the 5% level. There is really no use for any uranium above 5% for civilian or medical power purposes. So 20% was concerning. And the other thing is that nuclear officials, including...
Well, 20% is concerning. What's 60%? Alarming.
Extremely alarming because Iran continues to claim this is for civilian use only. Nothing above 5% is required for civilian use. And yet they were at 20, now at their 60. They are still claiming this is for peaceful civilian use, and yet there is no purpose for uranium at that level. You can't even use uranium at that level for producing power or for medical tests. So it's completely implausible.
So, Andy, we've done trilateral negotiations between various government agencies and government representatives in the Middle East, and it is complex. No question. So the JCPOA was complex. We were concerned about it then, more concerned about it now. The Trump administration pulled out of it. Biden administration is dying to get back in it. While this is all going on, the Iranians are violating it.
Yeah, tri-level, multilateral, quadrilateral, pentilateral negotiations. We've done them all, Jay, in the Middle East in connection with the recognition of religious figures by Jordanians, Palestinians, Israelis, for example, and other negotiated deals. So they're very complex because with one moving piece, another piece, or two others move, two move, five move, and the difficulty and the complexity in the Middle East is beyond any area on the globe for making these negotiations. So jumping right back into the JCPOA, as President Biden has tried to do without realizing the implications that it has all over the Middle East, especially with respect to the Holy State of Israel and what is happening there, is a very dangerous move. This signals the moving to the enrichment of 60% signals an alarming change that we've got to be really cognizant of as we move forward.
We are filing tomorrow a brand new lawsuit, the American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of the State. The issue was John Kerry doing with negotiations with the Iranians during the Trump administration. I don't think he was an approved envoy. He was not an approved envoy. And while we were dealing with our policy, apparently he was dealing with his own. Well, that's what it looks like. We're going to find out. And that's why we filed this lawsuit. Your support of the ACLJ makes all that happen. ACLJ.org. Be part of the matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. We got breaking news. So it is now reported, and it's being reported by Iran's chief nuclear negotiator. So it's coming from them, and it's being picked up by other news agencies now, that the Islamic Republic has begun 60% uranium enrichment. And this is according, again, to the chief nuclear negotiator. Now, there is no use for 60%. 5% was what the limitation was under the JCPOA, and that provides for medical utilization and things like that. Civilian use is what it would be called. This, it's 60%, is on the way to 90%. And you know what happens at 90%? It's weapon-grade uranium. So let me first go to Harry Hutchison. There's a policy issue fundamentally here, and that policy issue is, why are we at the table with Iranians, or almost at the table with the Islamic Republic of Iran, when the sanctions were working and crippling their economy, and now they are acting like the bully of the Middle East?
Absolutely. So I think if you look at this from a rational, analytical perspective, there is no reason for the United States to resume negotiations with the Iranians. But it's important to keep in mind some background. Iran has always been pushing against a wide open door with respect to negotiations with Western powers. Iran has frequently sought to exploit the fecklessness of Western powers and their willingness to put Israel at risk. And so now Iran is prepared to engage in an unprecedented escalation by enriching uranium at 60%, and then it's a short jump to 90%. Iran has already broken through at 20%. And what has been the response of Western powers? Essentially, they have said, we don't give a fig about what is going on. And we are really incentivizing the Iranians to engage in additional actions, whether it's terrorist action or it's threatening Israel.
You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's nothing good coming out of this. If you look at the situation and you're looking at, Andy, a deal that was at 5%, they could enrich up to 5%, because there's use for medical use, nuclear medicine, power. Then it goes to 20% and set off global alarms. Now it's at 60%, which, as Wes said, Wes, you said there's no real use, correct?
No. And the other thing, last week I read a report by the Nuclear Arms Association in which they said at the 20% level, as opposed to 5%,
yeah,
that the breakout time, the time they can go from today to a bomb, had dropped to a matter of months. That was at 20%. Now it's going to 60%. I mean, the breakout time is getting shorter and shorter for a bomb.
And this is, Andy, while they're in negotiations now, at least indirect negotiations through agencies, parties, with the United States.
Yeah, Jay, they have no respect for the Western powers. They, since President Trump is gone, in my view, they have no respect for the United States. This announcement, let's be clear about it. This announcement of an increase to 60% enrichment of uranium was not made during the Trump administration. It was made during the Biden administration, and it's a test. It's just to see how far Joe Biden is going to go. And the response from Washington has been lukewarm to nothing. We're going to still open the door to negotiations. You cannot negotiate with the government of Iran. These are not negotiable people. These are terrorists. They would never have done this under President Trump. They would not have dared to do this because they know that the iron fist of the United States would have come down. But now they do it with impunity. And so who has to come to the rescue? Israel.
Yeah,
that's a sad state of affairs.
We're going to get into that, but I wanted to go to Fan Bennett first in Washington, D.C., and get the congressional reaction to this and what people are saying. I mean, this obviously just broke.
Well, Andy's right when he talks about the Washington response, Jay. I mean, look, the basic truth is the goal of the JCPOA was never to prevent a nuclear weapon. And the evidence of that, Jay, is that it always had an expiration date inside of a decade. So even if you believed everything the Obama administration said about the deal, it would have expired after a decade. And the kind of enrichment we're talking about today would have been permissible. Iran never intended to wait for that expiration. But, Jay, I will tell you this. I mean, the Biden administration clearly has every interest in rushing back into the deal. But I want to point you to the United States Senate as well. Today, they are set to invoke cloture on the lead negotiator of the original Iran deal, Wendy Sherman. Tomorrow, they're expected to confirm her as the Deputy Secretary of State. So, Jay, the President, Biden administration and the Democrat-led United States Senate, Jay, they're all in on this.
Yeah, well, if you go back to the same people that got you in the mess in the first place, Colonel Smith, you're going to end up with the same lousy result.
Absolutely. And it's the height of naivete to think that whatever agreements they might come up with, any type of new JCPOA, it's the height of naivete to think that Iran is going to be faithful and keep the promises. They have a long history, even since 2015 when this was signed, of cheating and lying and not keeping their word. So why would we think that's going to change now? The other thing, Jay, that makes this even more alarming. For the last 5 or 6 years, Iran has been violating UN resolutions that forbid them from the research and development of ballistic missiles. They have always ignored that with impunity, so that when you take their capability of producing a bomb in a matter of months and combine that with their ballistic missile program, which is highly advanced now, and they have a larger missile arsenal than any country in the Middle East, including Israel. You take that missile technology and the nuclear weapon idea, it is extremely grave and alarming.
We have filed, or are filing tomorrow, actually, a new federal lawsuit against the State Department. This time, let me just give you briefly, and we're talking about this in the second half of the program. We're requesting all records pertaining to the Department of State's knowledge and efforts surrounding the current government officials, like John Kerry, former Secretary of State, conducted shadow diplomacy with Iran and its surrogates, or even advancing pro-Iranian causes, all while these officials were not members or representatives of the United States government. We're also asking for background addressing the subject, time frame, names of individuals involved, contact information, reason why these people were involved in basically engaging in activities not sanctioned by the government on foreign policy. And he said, I don't think he was a registered agent, Foreign Agent Registration Act of the Iranian government. But now you've got it reported that the Iranians have enriched uranium, according to their own negotiator, bragging about this as nuclear, the 15th anniversary of Nuclear Day. And they're bragging about it, Harry, that they're at 60%. 90%, of course, is basically the point of no return. At 90%, you have a weapon. At 5%, you've got civilian capability uses for it, medicine, power, energy. At 60%, all you're doing is stepping it up to get to 90%.
Absolutely. So Iranian misbehavior has always been met by meaningless babble by Democrats. And that is clearly the case with respect to the Biden administration. And the Biden administration is filled with a large number of Iranian and Chinese apologists. And now the Biden administration has called back into power John Kerry, who engaged, arguably, in misbehavior during the prior administration by engaging in shadow diplomacy with Iran. The question becomes, why are all of these individuals associated with the Biden administration so willing to cave into the demands of the Iranians? It makes little sense.
None.
Unless these individuals are motivated by one thing, that is to weaken the nation state of Israel.
Andy, we've got right now, we are preparing, I know you've reviewed it, we're filing tomorrow a federal lawsuit against the State Department. Now, this lawsuit will allow us to find out what kind of shadow diplomacy was going on, because something was going on here, and it's obvious now with them bragging about their 60% while they're trying to get back in a deal, something was happening during the previous administration that was not authorized by that administration.
That's exactly right, Jay. We made a FOIA request. We got a reply that was insufficient, totally insufficient, redacted documents saying that they didn't have anything, that they, of course they have something. So we did what we usually do in these cases. We go to the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, and we file a lawsuit under the Freedom of Information Act demanding to know exactly what these shadow diplomacy negotiations with John Kerry and so forth are, and we intend to find out. We litigate these cases, we send our lawyers out, we find out who it is, we find out what the facts are, we insist and persist in doing this, and we've done this all along in our FOIA litigation. Think we're not on it? As Jordan says, we're on it.
Yeah, we are on it. And Fan, is there a coalition in the Senate that understands the significance of what's going on here when it gets to 60%?
There's a coalition, Jay, but it's got to be built. That's part of the reason we're looking for this information. And look, one of the things we're going to ask here is, was John Kerry telling Iran, Jay, was he telling them to bide their time? That's what it looks like to me.
It does look like that. No, you're right. It does. It has all appearances of that, that they're saying just hang on for 4 years or 36 months or however they phrase it. Persians are patient people, and we'll get this fixed. And then what the fix is now they're at 60%, 90% as a weapon. Now, the Israelis took some action. We'll talk about that in the second half hour of the broadcast. Coming up, Rick Grinnell's joining us. But your support of the ACLJ not only keeps this broadcast on the air, all the people you see in the six or seven back in the control room you don't, and the social media teams and lawyers engaged throughout the world, but also lets us go to court to find out for you what's going on. Join that matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So yesterday it was court packing, the Biden election, their Supreme Court commission, if that's not nerve-wracking enough for you. And then today it's the Iranians are at 60% uranium. Oh, I guess it was supposed to be 5% under the JCPOA. But don't worry, because the Biden administration will be happy to announce and release our, and I'm happy to say that, senior advisor, Rick Grenell, former acting director of national intelligence, ambassador to Germany. No problem releasing Rick's emails when there is a FOIA request. Meanwhile, Rick, we've got to go to federal court I don't think there's been one we haven't had to go to federal court. And yours, the FOIA people and DNI say, okay, here they are.
Look, on a personal note, I hope that all of our listeners decide to give to this lawsuit, because as a reminder, my unclassified emails were asked to be released by a reporter, and the Biden administration under Avril Haines immediately complied, gave up everything. I haven't even been gone a year, and they released all of my unclassified emails. There's two standards for FOIA requests. When a Republican asks, it goes into this black hole of negotiation and you get nothing for 5, 6, 7 years until the issue passes. And when the Democrats ask, they immediately release this information. Now, this is ridiculous. This is the ways of Washington. But I the good news, Jay, is there's nothing in those.
Of course,
and it was released, and all we heard was a big thud.
Yeah, you know what though it is, Rick. They have, you said it. They operate under two systems. Because let me tell you two words we do not have in our FOIA practice. The words "immediately released" is never a word we hear.
Well, now we have them picking a fight with me, and I happen to be a senior fellow with a senior advisor to ACLJ. So I think, what we need to do is launch a sort of a lawsuit against them in a FOIA request to say, wait a minute, what's the standards? What were the standards that you used? And by the way, why don't we request all of Avril Haines right now? Let's ask to have the same standard applied that they applied to me. Let's release all of her unclassified emails. I'd like to know the process that she went through to repackage.
That's what I want to know.
Khashoggi report.
Well, here's what I'd like to do. So this is, I'm very serious about this. I said this in our pre-meeting, and I know, Rick, you were in correspondence with some of our people. We would like to file that very lawsuit. I want to know, A, what was the process in which they decided that your emails as the acting director of national intelligence could just be released? Maybe they've got a reason. We'll see. But it's certainly a double standard. And number two, in that same one, let's ask for your predecessor now, your successors, let's ask for their non-classified emails and see what kind of response we get. I can imagine. Because then we can really show the double standard. But that's why I guarantee you, we will be in federal court on that one.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Hashtag, let's use the same standard.
Yeah,
right?
Same standard. There you go. I'm not so good at the whole hashtag thing because I don't know the whole, is it Twitterer? I'm not, we do Twitter, but there are people that help me. Let me just say it that way. All right, we're going to do that. This is serious, folks. It's a double standard. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We just filed one today. I was just telling our team here, we could file a new lawsuit every day, every single day.
We have to have money. We have to have the support to do it because I will say this. The only way that we can make progress now is through courts and through filing some sort of action that allows us to be treated the same. And these court opinions, these filings actually work. And so I hope people will support us and all of the work of ACLJ, and let's move forward.
Yeah, folks, that's a good reason for me to talk right now about this matching challenge campaign. You realize any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for it. And it allows us to not just bring you these broadcasts or have Rick as part of our team, but to actually litigate these issues. And we're going to do that. Now, at the same time, Rick, there's a group of 18 Republican senators on Tuesday wrote to the FBI director, Chris Wray, and they are seeking information and investigation into President Biden's nominee for undersecretary at the Department of Defense, Colin Kale. And there's some concern that information that he should not have been publicly talking about was being publicly talked about, which ties in, by the way, to what we're the lawsuit we're filing tomorrow on John Kerry to find out what he was doing during the Trump administration. But on this one right now with the Undersecretary of Defense, what's your sense of this?
Look, this is yet another case of a double standard on leaking and undermining the administration from the other party. I mean, we know that John Kerry was running shadow diplomacy on Iran. Yep. We know that that's a fact. But now what we're seeing are people like Colin Kahl, who had leaks given to him, classified information leaks, and he was publicly using it to make points and embarrass and to push the policy in the most dramatic and erroneous way possible. And so there are a group of senators now. I mean, we hardly get 13 senators together, 13 Republican senators on anything. And they have signed a letter saying, we want an investigation of whether or not this information was leaked. We had an epidemic of leaking during the Trump administration. And President Trump was frustrated that people weren't being prosecuted.
Oh, I believe it. I know.
This is a problem, and I think they've got one now. I think they now see the pattern of the leaks, and I think it's right for the GOP senators to not let go of this one.
So the group now is up to 18. So there's 18 U.S. senators now. Yeah. So I was going to ask this to Colonel Wes Smith. You handle classified documentation. There's no like wiggle room on releasing that.
Oh, absolutely not, especially at this level. You know, I was reading through some of the reports about this gentleman. I mean, he is going to members of the National Security Council under President Trump's administration, querying them, says he's getting answers, and then tweets the information that he got that he says is from four people who at that time were on the NSC. I mean, this is pretty incredible stuff. One of the most sacred things, and Rick knows this as well, when you have classified information, it doesn't matter how important or unimportant it might seem. That is sort of a sacred trust.
Yep.
You absolutely do not share that to anyone who does not have a clearance and a need to know. And I'm sorry, I don't think Twitter has either a clearance or a need to know.
No, let me ask you this, Rick. We've got just about a minute left. And that's this. Iran is up to 60, but their negotiators saying they're up to 60% in their centrifuge uranium enrichment programs. You were the ambassador to Germany. Germany has been a big financial partner with Iran on finances here. What would be the reaction of, I would think they would be outraged, but I don't get that. I don't see that.
Well, the Europeans have said publicly multiple times and in written form that they are with us on trying to reach the goal of denying Iran a nuclear weapon. That's been clear. We've always said that we have different tactics on how to get there. Well, this is now evidence that the Europeans should be very upset that for the last several years, big surprise, Iran has been lying to us about centrifuges and enrichment, two issues of incredible concern.
Yep.
Now, I'd like to know, did John Kerry know that they were doing this? Was there a shadow campaign? And lastly, our U.S. ambassador to the U.N. should be calling an emergency Security Council meeting today on this news.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Rick Grinnell, senior advisor to the ACLJ, especially on international affairs and national security. Folks, you heard it from Rick. I'm going to say it again. Your support of the ACLJ is critical. Not only keeps us on the air, but allows us to have people like Rick Grinnell as part of our team and allows us to go to court representing your interest, members of the ACLJ, to get to the truth. Support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Thanks a lot, Rick, for being with us. As always, appreciate your work.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.